Okay, we are doing things a little differently this morning. We're not going to have a break. Kids, you are with us in the service. Parents, don't freak out. If your kids are being kids, that's okay. We do have a room upstairs that's kind of a family room. If you need a place to go, feel free to head on up there with your children. But we're going to have just a little bit shorter message this morning. But kids, I need your help. All right? You going to come on up? I'd love to have the kids come on forward with me for just a few minutes. Maybe fifth grade and below if you want to. Sixth grade, seventh grade, you can come up too if you want to. Thank you. Yes, come on, Hubbards. All right, if I can just sit right here in the middle, okay? You want to move over just a little bit, and we'll try to keep our hair away from the candles? Yeah. It's snowing, isn't it? Yeah. You see right out there, out the windows. Snowflakes outside. It's so cool. Well, I love it when you guys come up here with me. Yeah. All right. You guys want to put on a show? Are you going to dance? Yeah. Yeah? Huh? All right. Thank you so much for coming up here. What day is it tomorrow?
Christmas.
Christmas. Yeah. You excited?
Yeah, I love it.
All right. Christmas Eve tonight. Yeah. You know, a couple weeks ago. Come on up. Yeah, you're welcome here. A couple weeks ago, I was talking to the church about one of the things I wanted for Christmas. What do you think it was? Family, Jesus, good answers, okay. Friends, yeah. Jesus' birthday, yeah. Jesus' birthday. Do you guys, some of you might get presents. Some of you might already have presents. One of the things I said I wanted more of is this right here. What is that? Yeah, that's a Christmas ornament from our tree. You got a Christmas tree? Yeah, you guys, you do too. Three Christmas trees? Oh, wow.
I don't have one yet. I wonder why.
You don't have one yet? Okay, well, more joy. And the Bible passage that we're going to talk about this morning, it's from Isaiah, and it talks about an increase of joy. And the way that we have an increase of joy is because of God who came to us. And the passage in Isaiah says that we learn about him from his names. Now, I want you to help me repeat after me his names, okay? Jesus, who was born, is a wonderful counselor.
Wonderful counselor.
Mighty God.
Mighty God.
Everlasting Father.
Everlasting Father.
Prince of Peace. Good job. So I want to talk just a little bit this morning about the idea that Jesus brings us peace. Did you know that?
No.
Jesus brings us peace. So I need to just, you guys work with me, okay? Work with me this morning because I made something last night. All right. What is this? Huh?
Toy.
Huh? It's a robot. If you have a really good imagination, it's a person.
Robot.
Right?
That is a toy robot.
A toy robot? Yeah. All right, and I have another one here. All right, can you hold this for me real carefully? Yeah, there you go. All right, there's another one. You guys see this?
A robot.
Another robot.
They're both the same.
Yeah, they're both the same. These are my people that I made. And now what are they doing? They're holding hands. Yeah, they're holding hands. They are joined together. And then look, if you would do this, what's that? What's this here? It's a cross. So they are, can you see it all? Y'all see it? These are two people who are connected together and they're connected to God. It looks cool? Thank you. Yeah. They're connected to God and they're connected to people. Now, what happened when sin came into the world? Repeat after me. Sin separates.
Sin separates.
Sin separates. And so they got separated from God. And from one another. And even, like, if the leg fell off, they kind of got separated from themselves. Sin separates. Is that what we want?
No.
No. We want them to be joined together, right?
Yeah.
Sin separates. Now, if this guy here has lost his leg and say he lost his arm, that's not... I broke it, didn't I? Yeah. That is so sad. Can these little people fix themselves to come back together?
No.
Who would have to do that?
I can.
You can?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Or I would have to. In our lives, we are separated. Do you guys ever fight in your homes?
Yeah. All the time.
All the time. Yeah. See, good, honest kids in this church. All right. And we fight in our homes, and we have sadness in our hearts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's sometimes, some of you come from countries where there's lots of war. Now, can this world, and can we make everything better again on our own?
No.
Because sin separates, right?
Yeah.
Who can help us?
God.
Jesus.
It's Christmas.
It is Christmas, yeah. Sin separates, and now I want you to say this with me. Jesus joins together.
Jesus joins together.
Jesus joins together.
Jesus joins together.
And that is what we celebrate at Christmas. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that's what peace means. It means when things are broken and they come back together again and they're whole in our lives, in this world, Jesus came to make everything whole again. That is good news, isn't it? That's news that should bring us joy, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to pray for you guys, okay? God, I thank you so much for the children on this stage. Lord, I thank you for their energy. I thank you for their joy, for their happiness. I thank you for their love for you, and I thank you for the families that they're part of. Lord, I pray that you would grow a deep, deep hope and a joy within their hearts because you are the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Bless and keep them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Thanks for your help, everybody. You can go find your parents. All right. Parents, you all got some beautiful children. All right, we're going to take just a little bit of time this morning and think about exactly what I told the children, just for a little bit more time together. God himself has come into this world, and we've been thinking this Advent about these names of Christ, these names of our Savior, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Would you read with me from Isaiah chapter 9 where we find this passage? Let's read these verses together. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And of course, when Christ was born, Luke chapter 2, the very passage we were reading about, Jesus came into this world as a small, tiny, humble, helpless little baby. And the angels declared, "Glory to God in the highest." Then what? Peace. Peace on earth. Glory to God in the highest. And peace on earth on those upon whom his favor rests. You see, the biblical vision of peace is not just that the violence stops. It's not just that the sadness ends, but that God actually puts together again what was broken. This Old Testament word, shalom, is this picture of reconciliation, of wholeness, of prospering, of soundness, of completeness, of harmony in all of the world. And because of the birth of Jesus, we have hope for this peace. I want to talk a little bit this morning about how the coming of Christ gives us peace with God, peace within, peace with one another, and peace forever. We're just going to read a few passages this morning that remind us of the peace that comes with Jesus Christ. So because of Jesus Christ, because of the birth of Christ that we celebrate, we can have peace with God. Now, of course, Christmas time. Kids, have you seen Santa Claus?
No.
No? You saw Santa Claus at school? Yeah. Yeah. And Santa Claus, if you see him, usually he's happy and he's kind and he's called the jolly old elf, right? And sometimes we think of God in that way. And of course, God is, he delights in us. God loves us as his father. God is kind. Just like with Santa Claus, you can go and just kind of be held by God in his grace and his kindness. But God is also holy. God is all powerful. God is, it says in the Bible, actually, our God is like a consuming fire. He's powerful. And we are his children and his friends. But apart from his grace, the Bible actually says that we're separated from him. Just like those people this morning that I held up. We're separated from God. It even says that we're his enemies. Our catechism says this: all mankind, by their fall, by Adam and Eve's fall, lost communion with God. We're under his wrath and a curse and made liable to all miseries in life. Some of you know about misery, right? Because of the result of the fall in this world, we're subject to death itself and to the pains of hell forever. This is where we are without the grace of God. You know, I grew up in a church. Kids, you grew up in this church. I grew up in a church that was a little bigger than this, had a big pipe organ in this church. And in the church I grew up in, we would say, this is pretty intense, we would say the Ten Commandments almost every Sunday. And so I grew up with a sense of the holiness of God. Thou shalt not. And I remember growing up and praying, God, I pray that I wouldn't die. I pray that I wouldn't die because I was afraid of death and I was afraid of hell and I was even afraid of God. Now, there's something good to know the holiness of God. But how do we deal with a holy God? Where is hope? Where is joy in relationship with a holy God? Well, some of us, when we know that God is holy, we want to keep him kind of distant, right? We don't want to get too close to him. But Jesus makes a better way. Jesus makes a way for us to be near and connected to a holy God, a perfect God, a just God. We have peace with God through Jesus. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 shows us how because of Jesus we have peace with God. It says, therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Friends, if you have faith in Christ this morning, you don't need to fear God. You can rest with him. You can enjoy his presence. You've been connected with him. You've been united with him, not because of what you've done, but because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we have peace with God. Because of Jesus, we also have peace within ourselves. We have peace within. Do you ever feel like there's a kind of a battle going on with inside of you? Mimi's saying, yeah, okay. Can relate to that. Somebody ever asks you, how are you doing? And if you're honest, do you ever say things like, I'm anxious? Yeah, I'm afraid. I'm scared. Sin separates not just us from one another, but sin even separates us within ourselves. It causes us to live in fear. It causes us to live really, truly disoriented lives. Disoriented lives. And if you are there, Donna, if you are there, Adam, I'll tell you, you are not alone. You're not alone. You're in very good company this morning. with everybody else in this room and with everybody else in the whole human race, because sin separates. Every human being who has ever walked this planet has known that sense of disorientation, fear, anxiety. Every human being, except one. The one whose birth we remember today. Jesus entered into this world like us in every way, yet not with sin. And Jesus, God with us, was the only perfectly whole human being. Think about this. Think about the life of Jesus. Did you ever see a time when he was consumed with fear, when he was consumed with anxiety? Okay. He's mourning, he's grieving, and yet in the very midst of it, what is it? Right there, just after the garden, we see, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And so he's sad, he's mourning, he's grieving, but he's not given over to life-dominating fear. He's with the disciples in the boat. Remember the kids in the boat? What's going on in the boat when he's on the boat? And there's a big storm that comes, right? And the disciples are scared. And where is Jesus? He's asleep. How can he be asleep? He's bigger than the waves. And he says to them, peace, peace, be still. You see, Jesus had this sense of peace within himself. Peace within himself. And so he says this to the disciples in John chapter 14. He says to his disciples, who are like you and me, they're disoriented, they're filled with fear. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And if you're like me, you try to make your own peace. You try to find your own peace. You try to build a life that will establish your own peace. You try to surround yourself with peaceful people. Get rid of the negativity. And yet, it doesn't always work. We try to create peace and make peace. But this passage here says that peace is a gift. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. I remember a story. Mr. Heathuis was my high school teacher. I went to a Christian school, and he told me about what it meant to know Jesus. And he said, if there's no Jesus, N-O, right, Rose? No Jesus, then there's no peace. N-O, peace. No Jesus, there's no peace. But then he says, Aaliyah, if you know Jesus, K-N-O-W, if you know Jesus, if you're in relationship with him, then you can know true peace. Because of the birth of Christ, we have peace with God. We have peace within. And because of the birth of Jesus, we can have peace with one another. This world, as most of you know, is a hostile place. This world is a place that desperately needs peace. Whether it's within your home, around the dinner table, or the way the kids kind of relate to each other at times, whether it's brokenness in relationship with your adult children or your parents, whether it's the murder rate in our city, higher than it's been, I think, in 20 years, whether it's the violence among the nations, this world is a hostile place. In one sense, it's been that way ever since the beginning, right? Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel, violence within the family, hostility within the world. But we can know peace with one another. Ephesians chapter 2 says this, Ephesians 2 verses 14 through 16. He himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulation. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. Now, this was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and their hostility to one another, and how Jesus coming, the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the work of Christ, broke down that dividing wall and reconciled people together. Now, we talk about Jesus and we talk about peace on earth. Has it been your experience that God brings peace on earth through some sort of magic, sort of dust, poof, peace in St. Louis? Has he failed us? Has God brought peace among the nations? Poof, peace among the nations. We long for it. We pray for it. I believe this world would be far more violent if God was not restraining the evil in this world. And yet, according to this passage, how is it that God brings this peace to the world? Maybe the better question is, where is it that God brings this peace? Did you see the passage? And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. Where is God primarily working out this peace among those who have been hostile to each other? It's right here, in the church, his family, his people. God's purpose, God's plan is to bring this peace into the world as he gathers people together who were formerly enemies, and then he brings them together in one family, the church. That's the work of Jesus, to bring peace. And we see that right here. I've loved hearing some stories recently about how messed up some of you have been. And of course, some of us are very messed up still, but stories from your past. And of course, we have right here, we have those who have been racist and those who have been oppressed because of racism. We have right here those who are rich and those who are poor, and those who are rich who have used their riches in the past to oppress the poor. And God has gotten a hold of you and brought you together in one family. We have right here in our church former car thieves and those who have had their car stolen. I thought about this. Maybe, like, the car thief stole your car. And here you are worshiping Jesus together. Because God has forgiven you. He's broken down those barriers. He's created one new family. God's plan to bring peace among one another. Peace with God, peace within, peace with one another, and peace forever. Peace forever. Some of you have heard the story about the Christmas truce in World War I, 1914. Of course, the battle was raging in Europe, and it was Germany, and then on the other side you had the British, you had the French, and it was approaching Christmas Eve, and during the battle, I think the Germans might have started it, they just started singing Christmas songs. And they laid down their weapons. And the shooting stopped. One of them walked out, wasn't shot. And those who were against each other came together in between the battle lines. They traded cigarettes with each other. They sang Christmas songs together. Those who were hostile experienced peace. But the war went on until 1918. It was a temporary peace. It was short-lived. What does 2018 hold for us? Will there be peace in 2018? I hope so. I long for it. We all want it. But we also know that there's uncertainty ahead. You all know of the change that's coming with our family and the change for the church as we're going to be moving on from this call. There's uncertainty in my life. There's a question, what's going to happen in the coming months? What's going to happen for you personally? What's going to happen for our church? We don't know. And what you and I need to do as we face not just Christmas, but a new year ahead, is look beyond. Look beyond the day, the week, the months, even the years ahead. And we need to see the end of God's story. We need to see what God is doing. There's a better world coming. We've been reading about it this Advent. The lion will lay with the lamb. The children will play with the cobra. No more tears, no more mourning, no more sadness. Isaiah 9, as we have read already, of the increase and greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And so we mourn and we grieve because of the brokenness in this world. But we hope because of the goodness and the beauty of the future. As David says in Psalm 23, if you know Christ, you know peace with God, with yourself, with one another. And you know what it says in Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever because of Jesus. Yesterday morning I had breakfast with somebody. We were having coffee together and they've been in a difficult place. We were talking about it. We were talking about job insecurity and being right now in a job that's very difficult, doesn't pay very well. We were talking about family problems, broken relationships. I was talking with this man about his own situation and having recently been diagnosed with cancer. And while all of this was on the table, you know what we were doing? We were celebrating, we were rejoicing, and we were giving thanks because the things in this world that can be so easily shaken were reminding us and compelling us to place our hope in the unshakable kingdom of God. The unshakable kingdom of God. Peace with God forever. I want that for you. I want that for me. Brothers and sisters, if your hope is in Christ, if you've placed your faith in Jesus, that's not just wishful thinking. That is your destiny. That is your future because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me pray and Pastor Roy will lead us in the Lord's Supper. Father, we thank you this morning that you so love the world that you sent your only Son, Jesus, that we might not die, but have everlasting life through him. Thank you, Lord, that you are our peace. Thank you, Lord, that you have established peace through Jesus. Help us, Lord, to live out of this, to be changed by it, to be renewed by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Roy is going to lead us. As we do, we'll make a circle around the outside. The candles are lit, so be careful not to stand too closely next to them. Let's come to the Lord's Supper.